Your Eminence Cardinal Sean, Bishop Doerr, Father Graham and Brother Priests, beloved friends and cousins of Father Bailey, parishioners of St. Peter's and St. Mary's, brothers and sisters in Christ, there are no coincidences in God. When the eternal entered time, dates, in fact, every day, took on far greater significance. God could have fittingly come to call Father Bailey to himself on January 17th, which was his 87th birthday, or the anniversary of his baptism a few days later, could have appropriately summoned him home on February 3rd, the 61st anniversary of his priestly ordination. But he came on February 6th, the exact 40th anniversary of the day God in his providence called Father Paul Bailey to be a pastor. Paul Francis Bailey was so many things: a good son, a loyal friend, a prodigious reader, a proud BC alum, a faithful disciple, a diligent priest. But all of the gifts God gave him truly flourished as a pastor. When Jesus, after the resurrection, asked St. Peter 3 times if he loved him, and 3 times Simon Peter replied that he did, Jesus told him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep." Peter's love for Jesus would be shown in how Peter cared for the sheep and the lambs that Jesus was entrusting to him. Father Bailey's love for Jesus radiated in the way that he lived out his vocation as a pastor of souls, as a shepherd of men and women, boys and girls. So that as we prayed in today's psalm, he might for Jesus lead us in right paths, refresh our souls, accompany us through dark valleys, spread the Eucharistic table before us, and help us learn how to dwell in the house of the Lord all our days into the verdant pastures of eternity. His life as a pastor was a preparation for so many for this life with Jesus that is meant to last forever. And in his caring for others, Christ was likewise preparing him for that unending life of love. Today's gospel, Jesus told St. Martha that resurrection and life are not just things or events, but ultimately a relationship. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus pointedly asked St. Martha, looking her in the eyes, "Do you believe this?" And so Christ asked the same question to each of us. Father Bailey was one who responded and helped us to reply with faith, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. Yes, Lord, because I believe in you, I believe in what you say, and I believe that you will raise those who live and believe in you up on the last day." With faith in the Lord, we affirm confidence that Paul, our brother, too will rise to share the life to which all of his work as a pastor pointed. Over the course of his 22,284 days as a priest of Jesus Christ, he baptized thousands of children, instructing them to see in their white garment the outward sign of their Christian dignity, with family and friends to help them by word and example, to take that dignity unstained into the everlasting life of heaven, to keep the flame of faith symbolized by their baptismal candle alive in their hearts so that when the Lord comes, they might go out to meet him with all the saints in the heavenly kingdom. He gently heard hundreds of thousands of confessions, returning people's souls to their baptismal beauty and helping God bring them through his mercy to the forgiveness of their sins, an increase in grace and holiness, and the reward of eternal life. He fed easily over 1 million people with Christ, the food of everlasting life, in the Holy Eucharist. He prepared tens of thousands of young people to receive faithfully and fruitfully the sacrament of confirmation, helping them to enter into the ongoing Pentecost of church history and to set their minds on the things of the Spirit as the Spirit lifted their minds to contemplate Christ seated at the Father's right hand. He celebrated hundreds of marriages, helping people to see in the analogy of human love God's spousal love for his people and assisting them to take their place as the beloved of the bridegroom at the eternal nuptial banquet. He was present at the bedsides of thousands, anointing them and praying that the Lord would save and raise them up, and helping them to go forth from this world in the name of God, the Almighty Father, who created them, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who suffered for them, in the name of the Holy Spirit, who was poured out for them. And he prayed and worked to nourish dozens of vocations to the priesthood, mentoring various seminarians on summer assignments, assisting native sons of the parishes where he was assigned as ordination approached, helping parochial vicars to get ready to assume the pastoral mantle, encouraging scores of altar boys by his cheerful example of priestly life to consider following him as he followed Christ, the eternal high priest. I am honored to be one of Father Paul Bailey's priestly spiritual sons. He arrived at St. Michael's Parish in Lowell when I was an 8-year-old, newly minted altar boy, serving his masses, working for 6 years at the rectory from 7th to 12th grade. Was a seminary-like experience for me, with Father Bailey as rector and so many fine priests as faculty. I became familiar not only with priests in their public roles in the celebration of the sacraments and leading the church in prayer, but also behind the scenes, as they received so many to the rectory on good days and tragic ones with charity, compassion, and patience. As I observed Father Bailey up close, he quickly became one of my heroes. I'll never forget his joy when he asked me one day in the kitchen of St. Michael's Rectory what I was thinking about doing when I got older. "I'm thinking about becoming one of you," I said. He turned around from the stove where he was cooking some spaghetti sauce and said, "Really now?" with an unforgettable smile. Later, I had the honor of his vesting me in my diaconal ordination at St. Peter's in the Vatican and celebrated the Mass where the next day I preached for the first time and received his feedback. His feedback was invariably always the same: "Well done, but a little long." He had such a contagious love for the priesthood and for the life of a pastor that it was easy for a boy to ask whether God was calling him to follow in Father Bailey's priestly footsteps. There were several things that distinguished him as a pastor. A pastor is meant to feed Christ's sheep and lambs, and Father Bailey was a teacher filled with divine and human wisdom. He was wise because he never ceased seeking after wisdom as a zealous learner. He repeated to me several times when I was in high school Socrates' famous quip in Plato's Apology that a man is wise when he doesn't think he knows what he doesn't know. Father Bailey was aware of what he didn't know, and in a life of continuous learning, tried to close the gap. Walking into a study was like walking into a seminary or a Catholic college's library. Thousands of books stacked from floor to ceiling, magazines and journals scattered everywhere, and none merely collected dust. He devoured them. A couple times a year, he would have me collate all his editions of Origins, where he stayed up to date on everything that was coming from Rome and the Bishops' Conference in Washington, as well as so many other periodicals and Catholic newspapers. And he would solicit my assistance to try to find some more space on his shelves for the books he had read in the previous few months. All of this he digested and synthesized and sought to pass on to others in his short, pithy, and powerful homilies. Through his learning, he sought to root us more deeply in our faith. St. Michael's, he was pastor for the 100th anniversary of the parish, and he, with a lot of hard work, led the celebrations for the centennial, getting a history written about the parish so that all of us, no matter what age, would be able to profit from those before us who built that parish with so much faith. Jesus said in the gospel that whoever obeys and teaches his commandments will be called the greatest in the kingdom. And Father Bailey was a lifelong standout student of the master, and he became great as a teaching assistant of that master, and we're all the richer for it. A good pastor is also meant to be an intimate, faithful friend of Jesus who helps others to recognize that Jesus calls them too to be friends. because he has revealed to us everything he has heard from the Father. Father Bailey learned the art of friendship from his faithful communion with Jesus and emulated Jesus' virtues of friendship with so many, both priests and lay. To be around Father Bailey was to be introduced to an extraordinary world of friends, including so many here today and so many that he helped prepare for eternal communion. He was constantly inviting people over to the rectory, regularly traveling to visit others, and normally bringing friends along with him wherever he went. He had a great sense of humor that made spending time with him enjoyable. He loved his lay friends, many of whom were Catholic writers, journalists, and scholars, with whom he would relax discussing the issues of the day, listening more than speaking, but intervening with a priestly perspective and often with great wit. He was a priest's priest who wasn't just friendly, but formed deep bonds with his brothers, those who were in seminary with him, those who were assigned with him, so many others. St. Michael's, he would often host all the priests for the vicariate one Saturday a month for fraternity. When he would travel, he would often do so surrounded by priest friends he had invited. When he came to Rome on sabbatical during my time as a seminarian at the North American College, when I would go to visit him in his room, there were almost always 2 to 3 priests there, smoking cigars with him and conversing. He showed and lived an authentic Christian and priestly fraternity, something that nourished not only him, but others as human beings, disciples, and apostles. As a pastor, he was charitable and merciful, literally with a heart for the poor. He took the corporal and spiritual works of mercy seriously. The parable of the Good Samaritan for him was not just a story he preached about, but a summons. I was surprised yesterday that not many knew that he was a quarterback at Boston College High School. And he brought a quarterback skill of team leadership to his approach to charity. His first 2 decades as a priest were spent leading the church's outreach to those who were in need, as director of Catholic Charities in Cambridge, Lawrence, and Haverhill throughout the Merrimack Valley, assisting the poor, feeding the hungry, welcoming strangers from foreign lands, arranging adoptions, counseling individuals, couples, and families. As a pastor at St. Michael's, at St. Peter's in Plymouth, and even as a senior priest here at St. Mary's, he reinvigorated St. Vincent of Paul councils so that they could be more effective in caring for the many needs of those who turn to God through the church for help. As a boy, I was always moved by how he would promptly and kindly respond to those who came to the rectory asking for help. I would buzz up to his extension and say, "There's somebody who needs to see you," and he would come down promptly. He would treat even those he knew were feeding him tall tales with compassion. The amount of homeless people he arranged for temporary accommodations I'll never forget, nor the times when we would together go to the basement of the rectory to prepare bags of food for those who were in need. Yesterday at the wake, I asked many of those I met what they remember most about him, and more than half recounted his charity, how he would personally help to bring those who were disabled up the back of St. Peter's Church, how when he received notice that somebody was in the hospital, he would go immediately and wait with them as their loved one was in surgery or preparing for a medevac to Boston. Simply put, he was a man who cared for people. And in doing so, as Christ promised, he was caring for the Lord in disguise. As a pastor, he was also generous to those who weren't in great need. I'll never forget Tuesdays at St. Michael's, which was bingo night, how he would host all the workers for dinner at the rectory before bingo began. It would have been easy just to allow them to get a bite from the food in the bingo kitchen. But he brought them to the rectory for a fine meal prepared by who else? Father John, who was at his side for decades, faithfully until the very end. 7 years of plenty, not famine, over those last years. Father Bailey didn't have to be that generous, of course, but he wanted lavishly to express his gratitude for parishioners' loyal work, which helped St. Michael's School survive and thrive. This generosity was a characteristic of his priestly life. He was never stingy. What he had generously received, he sought generously to give. And we pray today that the measure with which he measured will be measured back to him, packed together, shaken down to overflowing. Finally, as a pastor, he was a mentor and a spiritual father. A priest is ordained in the person of Christ, and Christ is the incarnate image, the icon of the Father. So many of the early saints and theologians in the church focused on the spiritual paternity of Jesus, who gives us life through the sacraments. Every priest is meant to be an image, together with Christ, of the love of God the Father, which is one of the reasons why the faithful across the centuries grew to refer to priests as Father. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, whom 6 years ago today renounced the papacy as Pope Benedict, said in 2000, "The crisis of fatherhood we are experiencing today is an element, perhaps the most important element, threatening the human person in his humanity." He described the dissolution of fatherhood in so many of its characteristics and how that was hindering our capacity to relate to God as Father and to recognize ourselves as beloved sons and daughters of that loving Father. Today, so many children grow up without a dad in the home, committed to the mother and with her to the welfare of their children. But there's similarly a crisis of spiritual fatherhood in which so many children grow up without a man to protect and provide for their spiritual growth, without someone to give wise spiritual counsel, without someone who loves them with the fatherly love of God, and who, like the Good Shepherd, would give his life for them to come to eternal life. Father Paul Bailey was a great spiritual dad who cared for his spiritual sons and daughters whom Christ placed in his hard-working hands. He was like a second dad to me and my twin brother Scott. He cared very much for our growth as persons and as Christians. He taught us how to set a table. He would invite us to share in the conversation with his many great friends. As soon as we got our license, he would allow us to drive him to Boston, and with the skill of a Boston cab driver, show us for the first time so many historical and ecclesiastical landmarks. He would take us to the Cape to get to know his friends and spend some time at the ocean. He basically sought, as a good dad does, to show us the world and make us confident to engage that world. Today's epistle, which was what he often used at baptisms as well as at funerals, St. John tells us, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. Yet so indeed we are." Paul rejoiced in his own filiation, and in the person of Christ, the Son of the Father, sought to help us all remember our profound Christian dignity as beloved sons and daughters of that eternal Father. He sought to be an image of that paternal love. And we pray that what St. John reveals, he may now experience. That what we shall be has not yet been revealed. But we do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We pray that Father Bailey, who bore so many of the traits of the fatherhood of God on earth, may indeed, upon seeing the Lord now, become fully like him forever. And he was ordained a priest in 1958. Cardinal Cushing prayed, according to the Tridentine Rite, that he and his classmates would become prudent fellow workers in the priestly ministry, that by their noble and exemplary lives would prove that they are really elders of the people, who would meditate on God's law, believe what they have read, teach what they have believed, practice what they have taught, that they would inspire others by their example and hearten them by their admonition, that through persevering charity they might mature unto the perfect man, to the measure of the age of the fullness of Christ, and shine in all the virtues, so that they will be able to give a good account of the stewardship entrusted to them, and finally attain the reward of everlasting blessedness. 61 years and 8 days later, today, in this church that he loved, surrounded at the altar, where he would become younger each time he would go up. We turn to God, thanking him for the graces he gave to this good and faithful pastor and through him to us, and asking God to take him to himself so that he might experience that everlasting blessedness to which he never ceased to point to us. We do so in the context of the celebration that was at the heart of Father Bailey's and every priest's life, the fulfillment of that banquet Isaiah prophesied in the first reading, with the richest food and the choicest drink, where God gives us a foretaste of how he destroys death forever, where he wipes away the tears of all who weep, as we behold our God to whom we look to save us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and who sits on the throne where the angels sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." We pray that Father Paul Bailey, our cousin, our friend, our brother, our spiritual father, now beholds that Lamb and Savior he loved and served with all his heart, and that by imitating his virtues, we might come to see him again and enjoy the richness of his and the Lord's friendship forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.